The title of our message tonight is Bringing God Glory Through Difficulties. Look at verse 9 there. It says, My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, that phrase, it goes against our nature, doesn't it? To glory in infirmities. I wish I had better teeth. Everybody has regrets in life, amen? I wish I had better teeth. Last time when I... Oh my goodness, it's been so long now, it's hard for me to even think, amen? But I remember I had an infected molar, and it was all sorts of rotted. And I went into the dentist, and you know, I'll tell you what, it's a special breed of person that's a dentist. I will tell you that right now, amen. I better just stop right there, amen. And you know what they do is they take out that little scary looking pick, and they say, "Is it this one?" And you go, "Uh-uh." And then they tap the next one. You go, "Is it this one?" "Uh-uh." And then they go, "Is it?" "Ah!" Amen. And you, that's the naughty one right there. Yes, I understand. Amen. And this one was pretty obvious, Brother Jim, which one it was. Amen. And I remember what had happened was it was a molar that had gotten infected. And so I was in the chair, and they give you the Novocaine, and it's just that first little prick that hurts, and then they give you about 3-4 more shots, and they say, "Now sit here for about 20 minutes, and you're just sitting there like this, you know, nothing to do. And then they come in, and they've got all these instruments of torture that you're looking at. And I'm a sweater in the dentist's office. I don't mean I wear sweaters. I mean, I start sweating. I literally do, amen. I'm telling you, I'm a dentophobe, amen. And so I'm there, and they say, "Okay, it's this one here, and you know, give me the washer chips and the fruit chips," and they put that thing on. They say, "Okay, you know," and they put it on. And now, normally, if you ever had something like that done, you can just feel pressure, right? You just feel pressure. And I remember I had one pulled. I thought the guy had a pry bar like this, amen. And boing! I thought the whole jaw was going to pop out. But this case, I felt the actual pain after 20 minutes of sitting in the Novocaine. I felt the actual pain. And Mr. Perry, I almost pulled the top of that handle of the chair right off. I'm moving the pew just thinking about it. Amen. And the hygienist said to me, "Sir, can you feel that?" And I said, "Aha." She pulled it out. She said, "Oh my goodness, you've got an infection, and we're going to need to get you out and get on an antibiotic for a week and get back in here." Now, mind you, folks, this is about 8 years ago. Did you catch what I said before? The last time I've been to the dentist, okay? So please don't get on me about my dental health. I'm praying about it. Amen. And I said to the lady, "No." I said, "You get in there, you pull that thing out. I can endure 30 seconds of torment." But I will tell you this, folks. It felt like a long 30 seconds. Because here's the moral of this very long, funny story. When it comes to suffering, we just want it over with. Isn't it true? When it comes to difficulty, we just want it to be over. We want it to be over. And that's why this statement is so paradoxical to our human nature. We hate suffering. But, in a big comma, in a big conjunction here, but with suffering are lessons that God has for us that we could not learn any other place. Opportunities for us to grow more like Christ and to bring glory to God that, listen, in plenty just simply don't exist. It's in difficulty. It's in infirmity. You've heard the illustration. I've given it before. about the little girl who saw a caterpillar begin to spin that little cocoon as they do in the miracle of creation. By the way, take that one, evolutionist. Amen. They spin a cocoon, and you know what happens. And it, within days, that little caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It's transformed. And that butterfly, if you've ever seen it, it's an amazing process. It will take its little wings that are all constricted, and it will begin to press against the side of that cocoon, and it will struggle. And this little girl just couldn't stand to see that butterfly struggle. And so she took her little knife and she was very careful. She just cut the outside of the cocoon and spread it. She didn't touch the butterfly at all, but she wanted to help. Amen. And that butterfly flopped out of that cocoon and fell on the ground and was unable to fly. Because God had designed that through the struggle, those wings would be strengthened. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. And I know some of you are going through struggles right now. Please listen to me as your pastor. According to this book, God has designed some of our struggles to strengthen us. Strengthen us. Not just for us. There's somebody coming up behind you that's going to need your help. Somebody's coming along that's going to go through the same struggle 15 years from now that you're going through right now. I think of those that have struggled through a divorce. I've never known anyone to stand at an altar and say, I'm looking forward now, 12 years from now, about getting a divorce. No. No. It's a difficult thing. And there, especially in the day we live in, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we have no say. You know, we can look down our pharisaical noses at people that have been divorced if we want to. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times now, folks don't have a say. It's called no-fault divorce. Now, I love him as a president, but it's a gift from Ronald Reagan, 1969 in California. No-fault divorce. And those of you that have gotten close to God and God has been so near to you during that divorce, I promise you God wants to use that to help somebody else. God wants to use our difficulties to bring Him glory. The Apostle Paul is just an incredible Bible character. Incredible. He was a Pharisee. He was of a place called Tarsus. He was trained under Gamaliel. He was the great persecutor of the church. And then, on the Damascus Road, praise God, God got his attention. Amen. Remember that story in Acts chapter 9? I like what my dear friend, Brother Charles McNeely, said. He said, nobody gets saved until God gets their attention. And that's the truth. That's the truth. The problem with a lot of people's salvation is God never got their attention. When God gets your attention, you know you got saved. Amen. And you remember what happened? He got saved and he got baptized and he was the apostle born out of due time that replaced Judas Iscariot. And he was that missionary church planner and tent maker and I believe wrote 14 books of the New Testament. By the way, can we say this? In and through it all, he was just a man. Just a human being. We said in prayer time, a man of like passions. He had struggles. He had struggles. By the way, in verses, if you look back at the previous chapter, we don't have time to go through all the verses, but if you look at verses 21 through 33, Paul begins recounting his hardships. And then in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 12, Paul recalls his heavenly vision. I believe, and ladies and gentlemen, you can believe whatever you want, I believe that Paul was stoned at Lystra, and I believe he was stoned to death. The Bible says he was stoned to death, but this vision that Paul had, that he was caught up into the third heaven, Brother Jim, I believe it's just when it took place. And he said he saw things not lawful to be uttered. By the way, that tells me heaven's going to be pretty good. Amen. Somebody saw it and you can't even talk about it. Amen. Woo! Amen. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. So he recounts his hardships. He recalls his heavenly view. And then in verses 5 and on, he requests heaven's help, doesn't he? Say, how do you know that Paul was just a man? Well, by the way, he said in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, Christ Jesus died to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But in verse number 8, if you look at it, we see Paul, and he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Whatever this thorn in the flesh was, and theologians have been arguing about that for years. Amen. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? Some believe it was his eyesight. The fact that he couldn't see. He talks about in Galatians how large a letter I have written unto thee. Well, Galatians is not a big book. It's only 6 chapters. So there's some that thought it meant the actual size of the letters. Some thought it was his physical appearance, that because of all the stonings and beatings that he was literally horrific to look upon. And by the way, don't be so pious. We've all seen somebody that looked different from disfigurement, and there was an inside part of us that kind of recoiled a little bit. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. But we know that for Paul, it was a difficulty. It was a trial. It was a struggle in his life. Here's a thought I want to bring to you. As long as we live in this sin-cursed world, we are going to be fraught with difficulties, infirmities. By the way, the older we get, seems like the more infirmities we get. And all the gray heads said... I joked about it at the end of softball season. I'm only 42 years old, and that's not old. And all the gray heads said, amen. I knew I could get 2 amens there. But boy, it's amazing. After 2 games, oh my goodness, my hamstrings and my Achilles tendon and all this stuff's hurting. I never even knew was there before. We're going to have infirmities. We're going to have difficulties. They will be our unwelcome companion. But we can bring God glory in our difficulties. We can bring God glory. Let me give you, I've got 7 points tonight. And I know the time will not be long. We're having popcorn afterwards. And your pastor loves popcorn. So there, amen. I've got 7 ways to help you to bring God glory. You may want to write these down. I know some of you keep notes all the time. Some of you maybe don't. But I promise you, this one would be helpful for you to write down. Bringing God glory through difficulties. Maybe you know somebody that's going through difficulties right now. And by the way, I understand they don't need a sermon. They need you to be there for them. They need you to be a blessing to them. But you could even say, you know what? Boy, our pastor preached on this subject, and I think these points would help you. Number one. What's number one? Number one in bringing God glory through difficulties, realize God's plan. Realize God's plan. Paul here, and that's verse 7 if you want the cross reference there, chapter 12, verse 7. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he says back in verse 5, of such an one will I glory. Yet not of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. He says here, I'm going to glory in mine infirmities. Now, that would, again, if we were standing in front of the Apostle Paul, we'd think, glory in your infirmities? What are you talking about? That's strange. Well, verse 6 says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, but I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me. By the way, that's true humility right there in that verse. And you see it in verse 7. And here's God's plan in verse 7. It says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Do you see that phrase twice in the same verse? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul looked at this and he said, he could have said, hey, look, I've gone through a lot for Jesus. Now, he did recount what had happened to him, but I don't think he was doing it in a boastful way at all. But he could have said, hey, look, I've done this. I wrote Romans. I wrote Philippians. I wrote, and on and on and on, 14 books of the Bible. He says, through the abundance. And by the way, I did go to heaven, and you should have seen the things I saw, Brother Holy. You should have seen them. He said this. He saw God's plan in the thorn, in the difficulty. He saw it. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure, God gave me this difficulty. You know, pride, and we preached on it a couple of weeks ago, I'll not tarry long here, but pride is one of the most insidious sins. It can creep into our lives, and we can get to be thinking we're something for God when we're really nothing. You know, the work of God went on fine before you were ever on earth, and it'll continue to go on long after you're gone unless we get raptured. He realized God's plan. Look at that difficulty in your life and realize. Now, listen, yours may not be pride at all. But realize that God has a plan in the difficulty. Boy, that's so important, ladies and gentlemen. Because what it does is it defers from our wisdom to the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Even in difficulty, Pastor, especially in difficulty. That's when we need to trust in the Lord. Realize that God has a plan. Listen, you folks know the verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Listen to this poem. All things work out for our good, though sometimes we can't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just can't see Him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. Realize God's plan. He's a better father than you and I are, or mother than you and I are. He's a better parent than any of us are. He has a plan. But Pastor, I don't like it. I know. That's because we don't like difficulty. But realize God's plan. Secondly tonight, verse number 8. Says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. First thing is to realize God's plan. The second way to bring God glory in difficulties is request God's aid. Request God's aid. Paul here prays. And I see some simple things about this prayer. His prayer was persistent. He prayed, it says there, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. That's an old-fashioned word for three. Three different times I besought the Lord. Jesus said, He spake a parable unto them, Luke 18:1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. It was persistent prayer. It was repetitive prayer. I like it. It said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And really the confirmation, how many of you have prayed for something and you prayed over and over and over and over and over? And sometimes you pray the same words and the devil gets in your ear and says, oh, the Bible says don't use vain repetitions. And by the way, the Bible does say that, amen. But we use the same words. How many of you have done that? Use the same words over and over and over again. That's okay. You know who else did? The Lord Jesus Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26:44, it said, and he spake the same words a third time. And you remember what the words were. Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It was persistent prayer. It was repetitive prayer. You know what else it was? And this is hard for us to grasp sometimes. It was denied prayer. Listen to me, folks. We don't like this. I don't like this. But let me help you with something. God has every right as your Father to say no. God has every right as your Father to say no. Again, I go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not my will, but thine be done. Did the cup pass from Jesus? No, it did not. It was denied prayer. But what should we do? We're in difficulty. Request God's aid. Mrs. T, I appreciate that prayer request you gave us a couple Wednesday nights ago. Pray. By the way, whoever that is, just tell them we're busy. Amen. It's okay. Miss Sherry, amen. Don't you know what vibrate is? Mrs. T, I appreciated that prayer request you gave a couple Wednesday nights ago, saying you'd really like to go to Florida. Pray that I could be on the oxygen that I need to be. Amen. Listen, Mrs. T's not saying if I don't go to Florida, I hate God. No. She's not doing that. No. She's saying, listen, I'd like to go, but God's will be done. God's will. That's what it is to request God's aid. And it's so important here. And Paul gives us a primer for it. He said, hey, three times I asked the Lord to take it away. So we request God's aid. We realize God's plan. Oh, here's an important one. Right back to verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Number 3. Receive God's no as an answer. Again, I've already said it, so I don't need to belabor it. God has every right to say no. Sometimes our all-wise, all-knowing God in heaven says no. You know an example I think of in the Scriptures? And somebody that requested God's aid but received God's no answer was David. After he'd sinned with Bathsheba and Nathan came to him, his baby got sick. You remember? And he went to prayer, fasting, and he began to pray, and then word got back to David that the baby had died. And they were very careful about how they talked to David. And you know what he did? He washed his face. He had a better countenance. And they were amazed by that. And if you look back in your own time in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20, he says, listen, while the baby was sick, I wanted to pray and I wanted to ask God. But then he said, now that he's dead, he's not going to come back to me. I'll go to him. He received God's no answer. It was obvious that he received, hey, God has every right to say no. Listen, I know that's hard. Miss Judy and Brother Bill lost a child. It doesn't get any harder than that, folks. Yeah, that's right. Prayed over and over and over and over again. God, listen, God is God. God gets to say no. The difference between that and the point is receiving God's no answer with a tender heart, not a bitter heart, not a hard heart. I serve you. How come you didn't answer this prayer? Come on, church. Not a hard heart. Receiving God's no answer. Requesting God's help. Realizing God's plan. Number 4. Oh, this is a great one in verse 9. You almost miss it. Verse 8, he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me. What's the fourth thing? Read God's Word. Read God's Word. You say, well, Paul here, he's not reading God's Word. Nobody's getting God's Word, isn't he? It says, He said unto me. He said unto me. There's a campaign, and it's a campaign, all right, in the United Church of Christ. I hesitate to even call that a church. They've had a campaign since 2004. And I've seen the billboard many times in many places, many different parts of the country. God is still speaking. That's what it's entitled. But by the way, it's remarkable to me that the things that they believe that God is still speaking about are in direct contrast to what He's already said. Listen to me. I understand that God's nature speaks for Him. I understand that. I understand that creation, the heavens declare the glory of God. I understand. But you listen to me and listen well. If God Himself were to come back and speak to us today, He would not say anything different than what is in this book. God is not still speaking. He has already spoken.
Right. Amen.
I'm going through difficulty, Pastor. Please, I beg you, get in this book. How can I bring glory to God in difficulties? Read your Bible. That's how He speaks to us. He speaks to us through His Word. How many times have we been going through a difficulty and we read our Bibles and we read, oh, and there's so many things in here. Look at this. Just open this to Psalm 39:7. It says, "Now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." You think that'll encourage you in difficulty? Oh my, how God wants to speak to you through His Word. You say, Pastor, I don't get anything about it. I've told the story before about my pastor, how he lost his 18-year-old son, and he came to me. My pastor came to me, his associate, his subordinate, and said, Richard, I read my Bible and I get nothing. It's a hard thing to hear from your pastor. By the way, I didn't lose any respect for him. He's a man of God going through the trial of fire. I'll tell you what I told him, Miss Carol Ann. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. God will show you something. God will give you a little light. It's like walking in a tunnel when you see some light. If you keep walking, the light's going to get bigger, isn't it? Now, hopefully it's not a train coming at you. Amen. Read God's Word. God wants to help you and I. He wants to speak to us. And He does it through this. Dr. Malone and I used to joke. He had a red Scofield Bible. Old Scofield. He was one of them old Scofield types. He'd say, "We're going to be reading from the book of Matthew tonight. That's number 804 in your old Scofield Bible." Some of you know that crowd, amen. Dr. Malone was one of the original settlers of that doctrine, amen. But he used to kid all the time. He said, "Doc, how come you always got that red Scofield Bible?" He said, "Rich, because every Bible ought to be red." And so I one-upped him. I used the open Bible. And I got a red leather cover. Somebody asked me about it one time. I said, "Well, Dr. Malone said every Bible ought to be red, but I think if it's going to be red, it ought to be open." So I one-upped him there. I had a red open Bible. This one's black, but I promise you it gets red. It's got red markers, amen? Red ribbons there. Hey, listen, you're going through difficulty. You want to bring God glory? You want to bring God glory in heaven where He'll call the angels around? Read His Word. Amen. He'll say, listen, Satan still has access to heaven. I imagine there's so many times he says, "Come here, fallen one. Look at that. All that you're putting them through, all the difficulty you're laying on them, they still want to hear from me." Amen. 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 I think that brings God tremendous glory. Read His Word. receive God's no answer. Request God's aid. Realize God's plan. Number five, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Nobody's perfect, but we can have perfect strength from God. In our weakness, though. The problem is we want to be strong. And what does it say after that? Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What's number five? Read God's Word. Receive God's no answer. Request God's aid. Realize God's plan. Rest in God's sufficient grace. Rest in God's sufficient grace. I think of you sweet seniors. And I hope you don't mind me picking on you. Because I'm not picking on you. I admire you with all my heart. Miss Prime, you have to use that walker. Didn't always have to. No, there was a time in your life where you had the strength of health. And you're able to raise your children and had your husband and in a ministry for God and all those things. Rest in God's grace. Rest in God's grace. It's sufficient. Yeah. On and on we could go, Brother England. You buried two children. You can rest in God's grace, brother. Miss June, buried your beloved this year. You can rest in God's sufficient grace. Because when we're weak, He says He's strong. Yeah. I'll tell you, we get the strength and weakness thing backwards. We see somebody that maybe preaches strong. We think that's a strong Christian. No, listen. Strong Christians are weak. It's amazing. Because then, you know what happens when we realize we're weak? We have to depend on His strength. Right. Brother Herb, you're going through the trial with Miss Maxine. God's grace is sufficient, brother. It's sufficient. Yes, it is. It's sufficient. And I could go to each one of us. Brother Jeff and Margie buried a son. God's grace is sufficient. Brother Bill and Judy buried a son. And on we could go. I know I could point out everybody. Rest in God's sufficient grace. Several Wednesday nights ago, we preached on the widow of Zarephath. I'll bet you, Brother Horsch, she wanted that barrel of meal to be full. And the oil to be full as well. I don't think it was. I think that she just rested in God's grace and it never ran out. See, we know what we want. We want a stockpile of grace. We do. We want that stockpile of grace, this big abundant. It's like I went to Vermont a couple of years ago and we went up to the cheese factory. What's up there? I think it's Cabot Cheese. There's Ben and Jerry's in there. They're liberal, so I didn't go there. Amen. But I went to the cheese place and had too many samples of cheese. Actually, my stomach hurt. Amen. And we had this block. We got like 2 pounds of cheese. Now, I like just a slice, but it sure was nice to have that block anytime I wanted to just cut off a piece. Amen. But you know what God does? God keeps giving us slices. Yeah. Just when we need them. Just when we need them. Listen, folks, I know it's easy preaching. It's easy preaching and hard living. And I hope that if difficulty and tragedy would come into my life, that I'd go back to this message. Because you know what? It's nothing but Bible. Rest in God's sufficient grace. It's sufficient. You know what that means? It'll get you through. But, no buts. As my dad would say, yeah, but. He used to say that to me all the time when I'd say, yeah, but, dad. He said, yeah, but. No. It will get you through. It's sufficient. That's what the text says. Sufficient means enough. Enough. Rest in God's sufficient grace. Number 6. Verses 9 through 10. Most gladly, therefore, middle of verse 9. Will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me? Therefore, I take pleasure. Amazing statement. Amazing statement. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, meaning needs that he had, in persecutions. That one's off the charts right there, isn't it? Taking pleasure in being persecuted. In distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Here's number six. Bringing God glory through the difficulties. Rejoice in what God permits. Not just endure it. Not just get through it. Though that's certainly the goal, isn't it? No. Actually rejoice in it. I'm getting ready to start the series on Joseph. But I think most of us know the story of Joseph and what happened to him. And listen, for years and years and years, folks, it wasn't good. It wasn't good things happening to Joseph. And I love the statement in Genesis 50:20. You meant, he looked at his brothers, his conniving brothers that even then were still conniving. Hey, I want to let you know, Dad said to be nice to us before he died. Now he's dead, so be nice to us. What did he say? He said, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Yeah. Think about Job. All that he went through. Physically, emotionally, mentally. Got to the end of Job and he had twice as much as he had before. And he says there, I'll take pleasure in infirmities. It's easy to rejoice when you get a $22,000 offering. Yeah. We all ought to be singing Oklahoma, amen. Everything's going my way. I had preachers this week. I'm my own pastor. I texted him. I said, boy, what a great Sunday we had last week. I said, we had 151 for Sunday school. We had 208 for church. We had 147 back for the sing. And just when I thought the day couldn't get any better, we had a $25,000 offering. He sent me back a message and said, don't talk to me. And then I asked him, how many do you have in church on Sunday? And he said, 655. And I sent him back a message, don't talk to me. No, I didn't. I said, you can talk to me anytime. And then he sent me another one that said, I go a fishing. Some of you Bible scholars will know that one. I go a fishing. I told him, I go to clear a brush pile out of my front yard. Amen. You say, what? Well, listen, he could look at our offering, and I could look at his attendance, or we could just be rejoicing. Amen. And he was. Of course he does. He said, I always rejoice for the ministry here and pray. But listen, it's one thing to rejoice when there's a big offering. It's another thing to rejoice when you bury a loved one. See, you know what you learn a lot about from Paul? Maturity. Maturity. And sometimes, Brother Leonard, I look in the mirror at myself and I think, immature in that area. Immature in my area, in that area. Hey, it takes some maturity to rejoice in what God permits in your life. Doesn't it? Yes, it does. It takes some maturity. Rejoice in what God permits. Bringing God glory in difficulties. Number one, realize God's plan. Number two, request God's aid. Number three, receive God's no answer. Number four, read God's Word. Number five, rest in God's grace. Number six, rejoice in what God permits. And then lastly, verses 9 and 10. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Recognize God's power comes through weakness. God's power comes through weakness. When I was ordained into the ministry, probably one of the most humbling moments of my life was when I was ordained at Mountain View Baptist Church in September of 2001. I'd gotten saved in that church. My wife and I had been baptized in that church. I'd been called to preach out of that church. We went to Bible college out of that church, and we're now coming back to serve in the youth ministry. And I just, to this day, when I go back to Mountain View Baptist Church, it's just such a special place for me. All the things that took place in about a 2-year period. I've often said, if you want your child to go off to Bible college and go in the ministry, we lived an entire lifetime in 2 years. Because I came, got birthed into the family of God, and then 2 years later went off to Bible college, got married. Just such a precious place. And I remember going on the altar, and Pastor Donald, you've been on that altar when you got ordained, and having the men come and lay hands on us. I remember being at Midwestern Baptist College during our graduation, and they would do that. It was not an ordination, but it was just a special prayer. And I remember I broke down in tears, just thinking that God would ever use me for something like that, that God would ever allow me to be part of His work. It's just such a humbling thing. And I remember going back to Mountain View, and I remember what it was there to be ordained and to have each one lay their hands on me. And I remember feeling weak. Just weak. They came through, the folks came through, and the first one to greet me was Brother Ted Kellogg. Nobody in here except those two dear people over there and my wife know Brother Ted Kellogg. Brother Ted Kellogg was stricken as a little boy with polio. He was all gnarled up. You've seen folks like that, amen. He was all gnarled up. And he had one of those super racer wheelchairs, amen. You know, the kind that just had a little joystick on it. He'd bump in, he'd ram you if you weren't careful, amen, Brother Kellogg. And Brother Kellogg stuck out his little gnarled hand and he said, "Congratulations, Pastor." And he used to remind me every time I would see him. He said, "Now I was the first one to ever call you Pastor." And you looked at Brother Kellogg, and on the outside, and he was pretty weak looking, that guy was a giant for God. He was a giant for God. Nancy Horsch was a giant for God. Brother Bill. Max DeCamp was a giant for God. Amen. Poor Jeffrey. Just woke up. My preaching does that to people. Amen. Makes them cry. Amen. The weakest. Listen, realize God's power is not when we're at our strongest. See, you know what our church is? You know what this hoary-headed section over here is? Except for you, Miss Faith, amen. But you too, amen. It's a candidate for power.
Amen.
A candidate for power. Because when we're at our weakest, then we can have God's power. And you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, that is how we can bring God glory through difficulties. Because when we become weak, His strength is apparent in our lives. Not easy. Amen, church? Not easy. Sometimes difficulties, if we're not careful about our attitude, they can shut us off to God. We can get bitter and blame God instead of accepting them in our lives to help us grow. My children don't always understand me. I try to speak clearly, but it's obvious because they do sometimes the exact opposite thing of what I said that they don't understand me. And I'll say, "Do you understand me?" "Yes." "Then why do you do it?" And then you can hear the crickets. Creak, 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 creak. Because there's no answer. Amen. Folks, our Father is too wise to make a mistake. He's too kind to hurt us. He knows what He's doing. He maketh no mistake. Amen. Bringing God glory in our infirmities. Father, please bless tonight.